It's been a Swedish political soap opera of sorts. Less than a week ago, Sweden's first female prime minister was effectively forced to resign on her first day in the job. Her single vote victory to take on the prime ministership was short-lived after her coalition government collapsed, but today she was returned.
Har kammaren godkänt förslaget att utse Magdalena Andersson till statsminister?
As it was struck, there was a standing ovation and then a wry smile from the Social Democratic Party leader, Magdalena Andersson. With more, Andrew Scott is a professor in politics at Deakin University and a Nordic political expert. Hello.
Hello, Patricia.
So she was the country's first female prime minister. What was behind her initial downfall? Was it simply opportunistic party politics?
No, it's really because there's a range of parties in the Swedish parliament, and the Green Party was part of the Social Democrat-led coalition. When Magdalena Andersson was initially declared prime minister, her budget was not accepted by parliament or her government's budget, and the Green Party objected to that and left the coalition. And as a protocol, Magdalena Andersson resigned and has now represented herself to the Swedish parliament and is the leader, the prime minister leading a minority government as the leader of the largest party.
We just heard the standing ovation she received when she was voted back into the top job. How significant was her appointment for Swedish society?
Very significant to have their first female prime minister. Even though Sweden has been a global leader in gender equality and has had many prominent female politicians, including Margot Wallström, the recent foreign minister, it's the only Nordic country out of the five that hadn't had a female prime minister until the other day, and again today, and therefore we'll be hoping that she stays in office for a long time.
Talk to me about the convention of her resignation. How unusual is this in Sweden?
It is unusual. It hasn't actually happened like this in living memory. Swedish politics has been very stable. They have their fixed four-year terms. I mean, Swedish politics was so stable, in fact, that the Social Democrats were in power continuously from 1932 to 1976, which is hard to believe, isn't it? Longer than Menzies' Liberal Party, for example. But Swedish politics has become less stable in recent years with the diversity of parties, including the xenophobic populist far-right party, anti-immigrant party, and they're a source of instability. And part of the issue is that the major parties, particularly Social Democrats and the Greens, don't want to work with that party. The right of centre parties, some elements there, are increasingly prepared to work with that far-right party.
Sweden's politics has been stable for quite some time, but it's a tumultuous trend. Do you think that's likely to continue?
Well, the next election is September next year. Depends whether voters will try to bring more stability. Currently, the opinion polls suggest that the breakdown of support from voters is fairly similar to the parties in the parliament at the moment, which has produced this current situation. So you could have three parties all polling, you know, large numbers, but none enough to form government in their own right. But coalition governments have been normal in Sweden and many European countries, and in northern European countries particularly, they've been stable. And we've just seen Germany elect a three-party coalition government, Social Democrats, Greens, and the Free Democrats, which is more of a smaller liberal economic business-oriented party. They've signed up to a big policy manifesto as the basis for how they'll work together in coming years.
Thank you so much for joining us, Andrew.
Thank you, Patricia.
Andrew Scott, Professor of Politics at Deakin University and the Australia Institute's convener of the Nordic Policy Centre. And this is RN Drive.